In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the Lord Jesus give you his peace. Ave Maria. We have in the readings today, although we didn't hear them in the vernacular, the call of Jesus to beware of false prophets who come in sheep's clothing, and the image of the tree, and you'll be able to know the tree by its fruit. And a good tree can produce good fruit, a bad tree can only produce bad fruit, and you shall know them by their fruits. And so what is this? Well, it goes right back to Genesis. In fact, it's the very first words of the woman who's speaking with the serpent about fruits. We shall eat of any fruit of the tree of paradise, but for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil we shall not eat. God says not even to touch it. And this dialogue, it's all about fruit and trees. And so what are these fruits? Well, first off, the context of the whole passage, just as Matthew 7, the false prophets that Jesus is talking about, these prophets are not just men who can foretell future events. They are men who teach the people. And so the bad fruits coming from a bad tree here is mostly in terms of false doctrine, error that's being proposed from which poor morals and sin will result. And this is the strategy of the enemy always, to insinuate himself into the mind of the hearer, as he did with Eve. And so the sin is conceived, so to speak, and brings forth death. And so what we have to meditate on this morning is really false prophets in our day who are proposing truth to us. And of course, the media oftentimes is the loudest voice in the ears of our children. And so we have to really guard against, that's the first words of Jesus in this passage, beware. In other words, guard yourself against. And we have to limit ourselves as far as what we take in for messages. And really what, in this year of faith, Pope Benedict has given us a great means, almost like a radar, to be able to detect errors. We delve into the Catechism of the Catholic Church. We delve into the Word of God, so that we have and can kind of pick up, well, that just doesn't sound right. And because we can have that ability, especially more and more as we're devoted to the Blessed Virgin Mary, the head of the serpent is crushed. In other words, the very beginning of the entrance trying to enter into the soul is crushed. And no stinking way. That's not for me. That's from hell. And to be able to detect that is a great, great gift. Knowing the truths of the Church, doctrine, knowing the Word of God, and being especially devoted to the Blessed Virgin Mary as being the tools at our disposal. So these false prophets come in the clothing of sheep, and oftentimes we have to be careful, especially what's happened in the history of the Church in the 20th century with the unraveling of the faith through higher education. And so if we have children that are about to go off to college and are kind of trying to figure out where to go, we should take a real close look. If it's a Catholic school, are they teaching the faith? Are there amongst the faculty those who willfully dissent from the faith? And that's an important question, because oftentimes the sheep's clothing is proposed under the guise of academic freedom. And academic freedom in this context is the error of being able to dissent from known church teachings, teachings that the Church has proposed to be firmly held and believed by all the faithful. And at times we'll find faculty among Catholic colleges, as you know, that will willfully dissent. The hot button issues, homosexuality, same-sex unions, women's ordination, different things along those lines. And so to be able to detect that, warning. Another thing, of course, that would be under sheep's clothing is that we disguise, we try to detect false teachings under scriptural teachings. And that, of course, is with different folks that have left the bark of Peter and different denominations. And so that also we have to look at under this passage. Okay, so by their fruits you shall know them. And again, the false doctrine which will result in poor morals and the lives of some of the Protestant reformers or deformers has in fact borne that out. Not too much more on that. However, if we look at the Catechism of the Church regarding the first reading, which is from Romans 6, it talks about these fruits and the terms in terms of justification. And so this is the year of faith, and this morning we can take a little closer look at justification as the real gift of God and really Our Lady's role in it. Pope Leo the 13th says that we should really, it's really a duty of justice to acknowledge Mary's hidden role in obtaining for us the gift of faith, and that's really justification. Here's the Catechism, 1995, where it quotes Romans 6, which is the first reading for today. The Holy Spirit is the master of the interior life. By giving birth to the inner man, justification entails the sanctification of his whole being. It's not just imputed grace, it's actually a renewal, a regeneration of the person. Just as you, here's the Romans, just as you once yielded your members to impurity and to greater and greater iniquity, so now yield your members to righteousness for sanctification. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, language, scriptural, slaves of God, then the return, or the language is the fruit you get is sanctification and its end, eternal life. So this fruit is towards eternal life, and it's our sanctification by this mean, this gift of justification. It's described as a new birth, and is this not new birth also entail something of a conception? Well, the language of the Council of Trent will say that it does, that when we accept the word of God in faith, the act of faith, which is both a gift of God and a human act, is, in the terms of Council of Trent, a conception. And that has a lot to do with Our Lady. She is the Immaculate Conception. And so if we look at this in terms of natural motherhood, I mean, the mystery of conjugal love on the natural level is given over to the mother entirely. That is to say, a love which more and more coming to the fore, and we want to propose it always, is both unitive and procreative, the mystery of conjugal love. And both of those are given over entirely to the woman for their fruition, where the two become one and there's a conception within the woman. On the spiritual level, the Lord has made necessary for this gift of rebirth through justification through Our Lady. And she is the woman that we hear both in Genesis and also, of course, at the foot of the cross, the woman who is the mother of all humanity. Okay, so now if we think of this for a kind of a scriptural principle of what Our Lady has been given, or how Our Lady gives herself to the soul, it comes from this verse. To him whom much has been given, much will be demanded. And what has been given to the Immaculate Virgin Mary has been given singularly to her in the grace of the Immaculate Conception. She has been given grace, the fullness of grace, preservatively. So that which is her role, divinely appointed by God, is this prevenience in the act of justification. You might think of the wedding feast of Cana. It begins, and the mother of Jesus was there. The miracle hadn't happened yet. We think of it in terms of the miracle of the soul with God and the real nuptials between the soul being espoused to God in justification. The mother of Jesus was there right at the beginning of it. And she gives herself to the soul in a prevenient way. Okay. Now, there's a couple different movements in the work. Now, we're getting at this because it's certainly, well, to guys like me, it's interesting, but also on a spiritual or practical level, we can participate in this in Marian consecration. We'll get at that in just a little bit. First work of grace is conversion. We got to let go of sin. There's really two directions that the soul makes during justification. One, I have to detach from sin, which kind of brings up the aspect of mortal sin is a real unholy communio with demons. There's a bond. And I've heard it said that every mortal sin is guarded by a demon. It makes sense. So to detach from that, you think of the prodigal son, he came to his senses. There's a fleeing from that sin. This is ridiculous. This isn't making me happy at all. And there's also a movement of the soul towards God, towards accepting God's righteousness. Now, in order for that to happen, there has to be, according to St. Maximilian Kolbe, this spiritual womb in which there's really room for the soul to experience God's love despite his or her sin. The basic dynamic is this, that St. Paul will talk about, and the devil wants us to go in this direction. There's a sorrow that leads to death. The devil is not only the tempter, he's also the accuser. And if one falls into sin, he's right there to push us down further and further and further so that we despair, and we despair of God's mercy. The Immaculate Heart of Mary is the spiritual womb that surrounds, is given to the soul, so that both the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, this is sin. This is not pleasing to God. This is not going to make you happy. And then surrounding the soul with the utter conviction that God still loves me. And that's the love which is really the heart of mercy, which is the Immaculate Heart of Mary, given to the soul preveniently before justification has happened, again, the reconciliation with God, to experience that great grace, beginning of conversion, oftentimes swamped, surrounded, immersed with consolations and grace, beautiful, and it's the Immaculate Heart of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So this detachment from sin, confidence, that's why her Immaculate Heart was transpierced, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Remember sin? We hide. That's what Adam and Eve did. They hid. And so the exposure of that darkness to the light of Christ, in the light of Christ, he's going to get me. He's going to love me back to health. And that confidence is given to us from the immaculate hands of the Blessed Virgin Mary through her transpierced heart. The second thing is the second movement of the soul, detachment from sin first off, and then attachment to God. I know what I'll do. I'll go back to my Father's house. And he got up and he went. That's the soul returning and accepting God's forgiveness and also God's rectitude and righteousness and goodness. And that's an important movement as well, because when we do that, we're also be given obedience to the divine will is granted to us in that movement. Here's the catechism again. Justification establishes cooperation between God's grace and man's freedom. That sounds a lot like John 2:5. Do whatever he tells you. Okay, Mom, I got it. My freedom meets God's will. And if I say yes to Mom, then I'm doing the will of Christ. And whatever Jesus will command me, there's always going to be that fundamental obedience of faith through the Blessed Virgin Mary. She's given to the soul in this way. This is untying the knot of disobedience. Okay, second movement of the soul. Last thing we can think about this morning is this. All kinds of fruits, all kinds of obstacles to fruits, the thorns, distractions, discouragements, you know, the thorns that crowd out and no fruit, the fig tree that's been down there for 3 years, no fruit. And so the great gift of consecrated life, first off, marrying consecration and giving the gift of Mary to souls, and then the 30, 60, 100-fold fruit, the 100-fold being consecrated life, fully given over to God. Why? False prophets will always propose happiness without the cross. Consecrated life is always going to be the perfect death to self, and especially the gift that we have in this day of the Marian vow, where even the interior goods of the soul are given over, and this interior death of this participation, the co-redemption of the Blessed Virgin Mary at the foot of the cross, is an utter emptying. It's the perfect poverty, the absolute poverty of the poverello, St. Francis. And so this is a gift beyond gifts. For our part, our job this year, to grow in utter conviction of the truths of the faith, in utter devotion to the Immaculate Virgin Mary, and her confidence to always crush the head of the serpent, and to hope with her hope. That is to say, when all the chips are down, when it doesn't look like things are going your way, when it looks like everything's a contradiction, hope, I know my lines. Jesus, though you slay me, I will trust in you. And that is giving birth to many other souls. There's a spiritual paternity and maternity in that. And that's a gift of Marian consecration. May we, life is not very long. We've only got a limited time to do this. And so with great haste, as the Immaculate, let us make good. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Fructum ventris tui.